appreciate the attendance tonight. We're going to start a new series in First Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to be talking about, in this series, about a Christian's maturity and how it is the gift of God, how a Christian grows, but they grow because God gives them the gift of growth. We're going to be looking a lot at God's power in a Christian's life, and not just a Christian's life, but the church, life of a church. And I want to speak upon the introduction tonight. Our text will come out of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 6 through 16, but I'm going to look at 1 through 6 as our introduction into this to get an idea about the church that Paul was at this time, and what Paul did while he was at this church. Paul went to the church at Corinth, and he was there approximately a year and a half. He was also at Ephesus for 3 years, as far as we know. And I'm not sure if he was at any other churches that long or anywhere near that long. But he had a reason. Lord had him a reason for him being here. God has a reason and purpose in everything he does. God has a reason and purpose for this church. And he has a reason and purpose for every church. He has a reason and purpose for me, and he has a reason and purpose for everyone that's saved. Every child of God is God's elected child. Every church of Jesus Christ is God's elected church. But Paul taught this church much. However, here the apostle is letting this church know her state of understanding. In verse 1 of our text in chapter 2, Paul describes the spiritual condition of the church. Verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech, or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." So Paul says, "I don't come to you with anything deep or anything powerful." And we'll see in a minute what he's meaning by this in chapter 3 when we're over there. But it's believed that this is Paul's first visit to the church. And this letter was written after his visit, around AD 52. Now, if you turn over to Acts chapter 18, it's also believed that Paul remained at this church about 18 months or a year and a half. Look at verse 1 of Acts chapter 18 and verse 11, two verses before that here. Can't read it all. "After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth," and then drop down to verse 11, "and he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the word of God among them." So Paul was there for some time teaching them. Anytime a man's in the pulpit of Lord's church, it's for one purpose, to teach. Our teaching is the feeding of the flock. Even at a Bible conference, preachers should come here to teach. We're not, as a lot of preachers want to be, we're teachers. Preachers are defined as teachers in the Word of God. Since Paul came to a church with so many errors, and this church had a lot of errors, had a lot of problems, he takes a lot of time to correct those errors. God slowly drips knowledge into us so that we can have time to grasp the understanding of what God is feeding us. A lot of times people try to get themselves credit for what they accomplish in this life. But to a true Christian or a true church, everything is accomplished by the gift of God. It's not accomplished by our abilities. Salvation is not accomplished by our preaching. As Paul and Silas says, we watered, we planted, we watered, we planted, we watered, planted, watered. But nothing will develop of that planting and watering, no matter how much they do, if God doesn't give the increase. That's not just in salvation, but that's in everything. And then once God saves a sinner, He drips knowledge into them. He does it, some learn faster than others, some grow faster than others. And that's in the hands of God, whatever God chooses. We learned in 1 Corinthians 12, when we studied it, that God gives us gifts as he wants to give them to us. All spiritual gifts. So Paul was there for a long time to teach this church. Paul described this church and her understanding of God is childish in nature. He says in verse 2, "For I determined not to know anything among you save or except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Therefore, Paul elected, or Paul determined, by the unction of the Holy Spirit, or by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, as a lot of preachers do, on what to preach, to bring the message of simplicity of the gospel. Now, we talk about the gospel being simplicity, don't we? Being simple. But it's really not. The natural man doesn't understand it, does he? Only people who understand anything about the gospel is those that God showed it to, isn't it? But Paul says he determined, that means he chose, he elected, to preach the elementary sermons to this church that could be preached to them, a subject that every Christian should know, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Any Christian that doesn't understand the gospel of Jesus Christ probably isn't saved to start with, because that's what we're saved by, isn't it? By hearing the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said in chapter 3, in verse 1 and 2, Paul describes the simplicity of his preaching here. You'll turn over to chapter 3. He says, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual, but as unto carnal, even unto babes in Christ. Now, he wasn't calling these church cardinal. He was saying their knowledge and understanding of God's word was so nothing that he had to preach to them as he would lost people. And that's what cardinal means. It's talking about lost people. People that need to be saved. Now, these people were saved because they were in church. But this is the level on which Paul had them on. He says in verse 2, he says, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hereto ye were not able to bear it, neither now are you able." So he said, "I couldn't preach the strongness of the word to you because you would never understand anyway. Because until the Holy Spirit teaches us the deeper things of the Word of God, we're never going to understand them." Now, to the credit of the church at Corinth and all the churches back then, they didn't have the Word of God like we do. They didn't have the New Testament. It hadn't been written. In fact, Paul wrote these letters after he left there, so these letters were written after Paul's visit. So that was probably 52, that's probably 54, 55, 56, somewhere in there, I don't know. I'd have to go back and look that up. But Paul said, "I could not speak unto you as spiritual, but I had to speak to you like I would lost people for you to understand what I'm talking about. Now, you know, that's really harsh on this church, but it's the truth. Now, a church has to be taught. They have to be educated. And we have to listen to the Word of God and learn the Word of God and understand the Word of God in order to understand and know what we're supposed to be doing in God. But still at that, we're only going to understand and know what God gives us the ability to know. The Bible is an inspiration. It is a Holy Spirit teaching it to us. It's not on us to learn it. We're never going to learn it. Nobody can learn the Word of God. The gift of God is giving us not only salvation, but our learning and understanding of the Word of God. And I praise God, not a church. When I go into a church like Oakdale or Woodward or Tulsa or somewhere down Silvy, somewhere that I've been downtown, I praise God for that church and those in that church that have spiritual knowledge. Because so many don't. So many don't even understand the sovereignty of God. They don't understand how God works in a Christian's life. They don't even understand sometimes how God gives us the ability to learn. But he does. So the word cardinal is also used like the word Gentile. Just because God talks about Gentiles doesn't mean he's talking about Christian Gentiles. It means he's talking about lost people sometimes. Same thing with cardinal. God, and Paul wasn't calling these people lost. He was saying your education level on the scriptures is not very deep here. You can't understand them. So it's sometimes used on our biblical knowledge to put it, it puts the Christians on the lowest level of knowledge. Now, in verse 3 of chapter 3, Paul says, for you are yet cardinal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and division, are you not cardinal? That's a question, isn't it? And then he goes on after that by telling what he means, and walking as men. In other words, you're not a church by your action and what you're doing. You're not walking as Christians. See, in churches, when churches are right in the scripture, when the Holy Spirit has taught them, their walk is according to the scriptures, isn't it? The meat of the word, the stake of the word. And we understand things we're not supposed to do and things we're supposed to do as churches and Christians. The churches has an order. And the Lord tells us we must be in order. Doing things according as God has commanded us. All. And this is the reason Paul's telling this church, you just don't have what it takes to understand the Word of God very deep. Now, go to James chapter 3, if you will. See, when I leave this outline, when I leave this introduction and come in next week tonight, when we start looking at verse 6 down, we're going to be looking at how God works in our spiritual lives and how he works in our lives. A lot of times people forget how God does things. God does things through the power of the Holy Spirit. Our education level in the Word of God, our understanding, is given to us by the Holy Spirit. We can't get upset with people when they don't understand us because it's not their fault. If God doesn't teach them, he doesn't teach them. Just like lost people. He said they have no spiritual discernment of the Word of God. That means they can't put the puzzle together of the Word of God. Now, a lot of Christians can't do it. A lot of times it's their fault because they don't study, they don't pray, they don't go to church, they don't put forth an effort to learn. God's not going to help us if we don't help ourselves. We're not going to follow him. Now, speaking on the church, and he told them that he has to feed them with milk because they act in cardinal. He said, when among you is envying and strife and division. See, these things do not belong in church. If you ever find yourself, or church ever finds herself, doing these things, they're walking in a disordered manner. Look at James chapter 3, verse 16. He says, for where there are envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. So James is saying here, where those things are, it's not holy, it's not righteous, it's not a walk for Christians, it's not a walk for churches. But the wisdom that is from above is pure, or is first pure. So the wisdom, and wisdom is knowing what to do with knowledge, the wisdom of that knowledge comes from God. And that makes it pure, doesn't it? Because everything from God is pure. So he says, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy, and of good fruit, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Those are the deep things of the Word of God. Those are the church's walk in this world, and they're every Christian's walk in this world. If we find ourselves not doing them, it needs to be corrected. I'm not talking about this church in general. I'm just preaching a message. But there's a reason the Lord wanted me to preach this message. So we have to watch ourselves, not just for strong doctrine, not just make sure we get things done, but we need to make sure that we're doing them right. We need to make sure that what we do is without envy, without strife, without confusion. Because those are the work of evil. It must be first from above, and then it has to be pure, and then it has to be peaceable, then it has to be gentle, then it has to be interested, easy to entreat, be entreated. So there's all levels of churches, weak churches, learned churches, educated churches, and sometimes over-educated churches, and even sometimes arrogant churches. Self-righteous churches, and it's not just the churches. Sometimes it's pastors. Sometimes the pastors are these things. And we have to be careful with our walk in this world and in the Word of God, and not that we become self-righteous, not that we become arrogant, not that we become these things. Because I'll tell you, I know some preachers that are arrogant. I try not to be those things. And if I ever get that way, I hope someone tells me, Pastor, you're a little bit arrogant. It may not be taken well, but I will give you some thought. You understand what I mean? Personally, I think I try my best to help everybody and give God credit for everything. Let me see where I'm going to go here. But churches have to look at their pastors and make sure their pastors are doing proper and make sure they don't get in these things, because so goes the pastor, so goes the church if he's not stopped. That's what I was taught as a young preacher, and I find it to be true. Now, Paul pastored multiple churches. I know that he pastored this church, or he was there for a year, year and a half, 18 months. He did pastor the church in Ephesus. And I'm not sure what else he pastored as far as that goes. I'm trying to skip all of this for a second time. So, a church needs to be a profitable church. And what's a profitable church? It's not money. A profitable church is a church that serves the Lord in righteousness. A church that's doing the things right. A well-educated church. A church that's not idle. A church that doesn't act Gentile or cardinal. Now, as I said earlier, these churches were just starting, a lot of them. And they have lots to learn. They're probably full of a lot of newborn Christians, a lot of them. But we don't have those excuses, do we? Now, let's go back to our text in verse 4. And Paul said in verse 4, let's see which one it is. Verse 4. Okay, it must be in the First Corinthians. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in determination of the Spirit and of power. So Paul said, and this is where it gets a lot of people, Paul said, I don't have to worry about enticing words. If you'll notice, a lot of the preachers today, not Sovereign Grace churches, but a lot of the other organizations, they use a lot of enticing words. Now, enticing words is not educated words. It's not just that they, like Brother Hammond was compared to me. Brother Hammond was a few hours short of a doctor. So he was a very educated man, and he made me look like a fool every time he spoke around me. But what I'm saying is, that's not what I'm talking about. Enticing words is trying to use words to make people understand. And when we use words trying to make people understand, sometimes we dummy them, because we have to speak the word of God, and God, believe it or not, God will teach people what he wants to teach them. So Paul didn't say, I came here with all of this to teach you. I'm going to preach and God's going to teach you. That's what God does. He teaches us, doesn't he? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you will. And listen to what Paul wrote to the church of Corinth in the second letter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made complete, perfect means complete, in weakness. In other words, you don't have to be strong. You don't have to know all these enticing words. You don't have to have that doctrine, be I short, or have a doctorate degree, in order to make yourself look smart. You just got to be able to preach the word of God, and God will take care of the rest. But see, sometimes we're human, and we still have that human nature about us. And sometimes, you know what human nature does? It makes us less humble, doesn't it? It makes us prideful, doesn't it? And sometimes it makes us want to stand up like we know more, because we're more educated, or we have more of this, or have more of that. Sometimes preachers get that way, too. Well, they like to show off their ability. But what we're forgetting is, and the humble part is, that I am what I am by the grace of God, Paul said. And Paul just said here in his second letter to them that my grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made complete or perfect in weakness. God tells us that he'll take an intelligent person, basically make them dumb, to educate them in the word of God. Doesn't take away their human education, But it takes away the things they learned in college, which is about socialism and communism and all the other trash they're teaching these days. And God brings them up and teaches them in the solid grace way. So really, salvation is not a choice, it's not a decision, it's not turning over a new leaf, it's not about works, it's about grace. In fact, if you, and we're going to learn a lot of this, we go through this starting next week, as we start looking at the 9 or 10, 12 points, whatever I have in there, I've got them already written down, there's a lot of them. What we're going to learn is how it's the Holy Spirit that gives us everything we need as Christians. Now, what's that tell us? We need to not work so hard to accomplish what God is going to give us. Sometimes people study and work so hard at things, and work God, it drives them crazy. Because, humanly speaking, we cannot do what we can't do. We cannot learn what we don't learn, because learning and education on Scripture is a gift from God, which God gives to every man as he chooses to give. That goes this way. If it was the will of God that every Christian understand everything about the Word of God, how much would we understand? Everything. Right? If it was the will of God that every sinner be saved, then how many would be saved? All of them. When we get to heaven, I believe we'll all understand the Word of God. I think we'll understand all these things and we'll certainly be in truth. But sometimes we differ, don't we? Because God doesn't give us everything He wants us, everything we think. He doesn't give us everything. I mean, I don't want to say anything, I'm going to get myself in trouble up there. So that's the reason that Paul said, I am what I am by the grace of God. Giving himself absolutely no credit for all he accomplished. Now, you can go back in history and you can read the writings of Bunyan, the writings of Gill, the writings of Pink, the writings of Spurgeon, the writings of any of the old writers. Or you can read some of the more modern preachers. Brother Meek or Brother Thomas or even some of them that are here today. And they never give themselves credit for nothing. I listened to my former pastor, Brother Hammond, for 20-something years, and I guarantee you, not one time did I ever hear that man give himself credit for anything. Because we can't. That's the reason we can't get arrogant about things. Our job as pastors and ministers and teachers is to teach the Word of God. If you will, go down to back to our text. Verse 5. So I've used two chapters here, and I'm trying to make sure I'm getting the right chapter. So it's our text in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians. In verse 5, this puts us right at almost verse 6, because we're almost done here. Paul says in verse 5, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And this is going to propel us into verse 6. So, your faith, which includes your knowledge, should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God, because the power of God is the one that brought it on to us. Go to Romans chapter 1, if you will. Yeah, I'm about right. I've had to skip some of this. That's the reason I'm going through it slow. I wrote a lot of this down today, and I'm skipping a lot of it. But let's look at Romans chapter 1, verse 16, when Paul wrote to the church at Rome, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." In other words, a lot of people act like they're ashamed of it, don't they? Because they don't want to preach the gospel. They don't want to preach other things. They don't want to preach a tithing word. They don't want to preach the wisdom and knowledge of man, don't they? But Paul says, "Well, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it," the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." In other words, it is the tool that the Holy Spirit uses to save sinners. He doesn't use my enticing words or my wisdom or my knowledge or any other man's knowledge or understanding. God uses the simplicity of the gospel. And the gospel is one message you can preach anywhere, universal, as long as they're a Baptist church there. Because every Baptist church, I'm not talking about official Baptists, I'm talking about counterfeit Baptists, I'm talking about real Baptist churches. Every one of them loves the gospel, don't they? I do. I'm good with the gospel being preached. But I guarantee you can preach more here than the gospel, can't you? But the gospel is the power of God. It's not our power. It's not our wisdom. It's the power of God. Now, next week, we're going to start with verse 6. This is where our message will actually start. He says, "How then we speak wisdom among them that are perfect or are complete, yet not in wisdom of this world, nor the princes of the world, that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery." And it is a mystery. And that's what we will pick up next week. So thank you for being here. God bless you. And we praise the Lord for the Lord's churches, especially those that have a great understanding of God's word. And all the members therefore that have a great understanding of God's word, because it didn't come easy, did it? It took years and years and years and years to learn, didn't it? It did. It took me a lot of years. It took me a good 30 years to really learn the doctrines that I understand today. I'm a slow learner. I'm not very smart. So anyway, we praise the Lord for his gift to us of everything that he gives to us. And we just look at our lives in reality. Everything we have, everything we do, everything we understand is a gift from God. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand.